half decent Irish person be playing cricket today, Roger? I mean, why has cricket become suddenly the most attractive street game in Ireland?
Did you watch it? Did you listen to it? I actually listened to a large chunk of it, and the ending was extraordinary. It was the World Cup all over again, except this time it worked out differently. It was quite remarkable.
I saw the ending of both innings, but come on, tell the listeners, what are you talking about? What happened, first of all, and then riff on it.
Okay, so England played Ireland in a three-game series, a one-day series. So cricket has a number of formats, one of which is...
So these were male cricketers, Irish male cricketers, playing against England in 50-overs matches.
Correct. This was the third game. And England posted a reasonable total. Not outrageously high, but, acceptable. And based on what had happened in the previous two games, there was no way Ireland was going to get anywhere near this.
If Ireland were going to win, they had to do the highest run chase on English soil in an international 50 overs game, I think.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Anyway, it was not to be sneezed at.
No. It's in the modern game. I think the total was, let's say, sake of argument, 328 or 330. In the modern one-day game, that is not an uncommon score these days. I mean, that it's a competitive score. Look, 10 years ago, that would have been impossible, an absolute impossibility. It's just not going to happen. Now, off the back of the results in the previous two games, where Ireland suffered quite dramatic batting collapses, there was just, it was an insurmountable mountain, insurmountable. And they ended up getting quite far into their innings, having lost only one or two wickets out of 10. You get to 10 people, players can come in and bat and score the points, the runs. And I think they got to, gosh, was it 270, 280, 290 for two? I mean, this was fabulous. At one point, they had so many overs to play with. They were making it look ridiculously easy, as if, I don't know, as if the English bowlers were throwing down melons or something, and they were just batting them away. It was incredible. Then there was a slight flurry, I seem to remember, of wickets, and it looked a little bit, I think the brakes were put on a little bit on the Irish innings.
Well, let me chip in. One Irish guy got 146, I think, or 136, right?
Yeah.
An opening batsman, and that. And then the Irish captain scored a century as well. So at one stage, you had two people who'd scored in excess of 100 at the wicket.
Yep.
And then they lost those two wickets. They lost those two wickets, and there still were 40 or 50 runs left to get to win the match. And it wasn't all certain that Ireland were going, because they still had to get the runs at about 9 or 10 runs and over.
They did. The run rate had slowed dramatically, round and about the two wickets falling. So the game became more competitive again. And it became so competitive, in fact, that it came down to the last few balls of the game, of the match. And I think even with three balls to go, it could have gone anyway. The first of those three balls, I think, was a dot ball. No runs were scored. And then it became very dramatic. It was minimal runs off two, maybe even one run off two balls, and it was getting very tight. But it wasn't one off two, it was more than that, but then disaster, because the English bowler overstepped the mark, basically gave away a free hit, and that was the game over. From that moment, the game was done, but it came down to those two final balls, and had he not overstepped the mark, had there not been a free hit, then it would have been one of the... It was already an exciting finish, but had that not happened, it would have been one of the... And what I loved on the radio Test Match Special is they got the Irish commentator in, and they knew the game was going to... was very likely going to go Ireland's way. But regardless of that, they needed to give the Irish commentator the opportunity to be in the hot seat in the event that Ireland won. He did a remarkable job of keeping it together, because, quite frankly, Ireland were heavy, heavy, heavy underdogs. Playing the world champions, there's a little asterisk that goes against that, but that's just being a little bit, you know, let's not talk about that. But so he's there, and at one point he looks around and he says, "Everybody is filming me," because of course they knew if Ireland wins this, and we've got an Irish commentator on Test Match Special, the most venerated radio program in all of history, in the whole of the universe, and he gets to commentate on an Ireland victory over England, the world champions in England. This is just remarkable. We must all record this. And I just had this image of this poor man surrounded by people with their mobile phones out filming him. And thank goodness Ireland won, because the poor man would have been devastated, I think, had Ireland lost it at that point. And you and I both know that a long run chase to an impossible target, you start off dismissing any chance that it's going to happen. It's impossible. As the day progresses or the innings progresses, you shift. You start to doubt that it's impossible. Then you shift into it could be possible. Then you get to hope. Then you get to my goodness, it's getting within range. And then every subsequent second or minute, basically hold up the entire office. Every single ball was torture, and that just ratchets up the tension bit by bit by bit, ball by ball by ball, until it almost becomes unbearable. You don't get that, as far as I can tell, in any other sport, that gradual... It's like being on a rack, I think, and they turn the rack imperceptibly. But over time, of course, the tension builds up so much over the hours. Anyway, I rambled on. But wasn't it magnificent?
It was fabulous. I watched it on television, the end of both innings. And I thought Ireland had absolutely no chance. I was shocked. As time went on, I saw some of what's his name, the extraordinary Irish guy who got 146. His name goes out of my head this very minute. I think it begins. I think it, no. I think it begins with an L. The name of the free scoring Irish batsman who took the English bowlers to pieces. And it was an extraordinary display of Paul Sterling took the English attack to pieces, and two Irish people to score a century. It was extraordinary. And actually, England had played very badly, because apart from the English captain Owen Morgan, who scored 105. The rest of the English batting was pretty average. And, you know, England had got to a score. They could easily have been all bowled out for 240, or they could easily have gone on to score 400. But Ireland held them to a figure and chased the runs down. And that's why all the kids in Ireland have put aside their hurleys. There isn't a hurley to be found in Cork, except all the kids in Cork are bowling slitters. It is believed that if you bowl a slitter at a wicket, which is defended by a hurley, that the ball will move through the air. This is a big issue for cricket fans the world over, because as many will know, the cricket ball has a seam. Now, it's another conversation we'll have about cricket balls, Roger, on another day. But just generalising, every cricket ball has a seam and every slitter has a seam. So there's a lot of things in common between cricket and hurling. And similarly, cricket bats are made out of willow and hurleys are made out of ash. And we know that both willows and ash are forms of trees. So cricket and hurling have a lot in common. They're both come from trees.
They both use sticks.
So there we are. But
to be honest with you, it's a shame. I don't know how much coverage it got in the press here. I don't know how much it's resonated. I don't know how much it's raised the profile of cricket in Ireland at all. Can only hope it did, but
It's the second time we had an extraordinary experience last year. You and I went to Lord's and we watched Ireland play England in a test match, and we missed the day in which Ireland humbled England, the might of England humbled by an Irish bowler who took 7 wickets for about 46.
Murta.
So that was an extraordinary day. This year, Ireland have beaten, as you said, the world champions. So it isn't just Pakistan that Ireland can beat.
I was going to say something inappropriate there. Something terrible happened to the poor Pakistani coach. Anyway, let's forget that.
Well, the main thing is that Ireland beat Pakistan. We won't say by how much. They also have beaten the West Indies. So Ireland has some skin in the game, if you like. And today, England are being, they were yesterday, obliterated by Pakistan.
Yes, different format, but similar story. But England's test team isn't that great. The one-day team, yes, I mean, therein lies the complication, because, of course, the test match is played, it started a day after the Ireland game, but they're not the same teams, which is not uncommon in England anyway. You have different players on different teams. But we're missing a couple of people. It's not like they've performed on the test match either. It's not like Stokes has set this test match alive, really. What did he get? 1-2, naught?
By the way, just to come back to the one-day game, do you know that England haven't lost a one-day series in about 4 years?
Really?
They have been world champions. I think they were world champions and defended their world champions last year, didn't they? I mean, they...
The West Indies were the world champions.
Oh, were they? Okay. So England are now the world champions, but they haven't lost a series in about 3 or 4 years.
Gosh.
I know. Now, Ireland didn't win the series. England won the series 2-1. But we will talk on another occasion about the 10 points that Ireland got by beating England.
Well, that gave the game some significance, because it wasn't a dead rubber.
It was not a dead rubber. Absolutely.
I'm going to see who won the 2015 World Cup cricket. Because I'm curious now.
I think you're right about... I seem to remember that the World Cup was won by one player. Mr. Gale blew everybody off the pitch, I think, and won the World Cup for the West Indies. Did he not? No?
No.
Who won it?
Who do you think won it?
Well, I started off thinking England had won it. Then you persuaded me the West Indies had won it. So I'm going to say India won it.
Actually, no, that was... I shouldn't have been so flippant. That was Australia won it. 2011, India won it by the looks of it. 27, Australia won it.
So it's been Australia...
Hang on. Yeah, I mean, Australia have won it a billion times as far as I can tell.
So every 4 years, the world 50 overs one day championship is held, and England won it last year by beating New Zealand in the final match. That's another. Oh, wait a minute, is that correct, or was that the T20?
No. They beat they did beat New Zealand in the final game in what is considered the greatest one day game ever. Now, that's debatable, because you could also say, look, there are two contestants for the greatest one-day game ever. It is this final, because of the remarkable way it unfolded. Let's not get into that right now. Because basically, England had to win that game three times over. It was quite astonishing, and they were very lucky.
No, let's not go into it, Roger. You just said, let's not go into it.
Yeah, let's not go into it. Anyway, so there's that game which is considered by many to be the greatest. The other contender would be the world record match where Australia posted 400 gabillion runs in their first innings against South Africa, in South Africa. And that was basically nobody had ever scored that many runs in a one-day game. It was the world record total. And that world record lasted for as long as it took the South Africans to bat, because in this incredible game, they actually beat this phenomenal total set by the Australians. That was just astonishing as well. So you've got two contenders for the greatest one-day game ever. Of course, in Ireland, there is only one contender for the greatest one-day game ever, and that happens during the week on Tuesday.
That sounds good. And look, let's stop talking cricket. I've got to get on and do other things.
Yes, me too. A whole ton of stuff. Good. I'm going to edit this and I'll get it up and move on.
Okay, I talk to you. I don't know where I'm going to be next week, by the way.
You might go to La Hinch.
I may go to La Hinch. I probably will go to La Hinch. I don't know which day I'll go to La Hinch. I might be there on Monday. I might not be there till Tuesday. I don't know, everything's up in the air. But anyway, I'll keep in touch.